nature and all created things. Above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began.
Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you
crucified, laid behind a stone. You live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're crucified, laid behind a stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me. Rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me. Above all, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took and thought of me. Above all.
Let's all stand. If you would, Brother Wade mentioned this a couple weeks ago, I believe, but wants to be in prayer that be in prayer for the youth. And Brother Joseph and I have kind of got together, and it's been laid upon our hearts to maybe not for Christmas but for the Easter time period try to work with the kids and get the message to the trial together. And I've started kind of studying that and listening to it, so be in prayer. We're pretty excited about it. I don't know what's going on with youth at Christmas yet, but I do know that that's the plan for Joseph and I, approved through Wade. So I need the kids to kind of be on the alert, the fact that maybe coming to them and asking them some questions and kind of maybe having a very early preliminary meeting on that subject. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Bless you tonight. Good to see each one of you. Amen. I'm not going to sing. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we'll look into the scripture. Very familiar scripture tonight. Psalms 23. And appreciate what Brother Boyd had to say. And kind of goes along with what I want to speak about tonight. And for I forget, I know many people know, but and there'll be a lot of people traveling this time of the year. Now it's the holiday season, so I don't know. Different ones will be traveling at different times, but just want to remember each one to be traveling, praying for them, and say, God bless y'all. Hope y'all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We don't know when to get to see y'all or whatever, but God bless y'all. And just continue to remember each one, and hope y'all have a wonderful time with your family. And I was thinking about that today, and you know, we have a real Christian holiday. This is the one that was instituted by one of my favorite presidents, probably my favorite president, Abraham Lincoln. And a lot of y'all don't know this, but I was born on his 165th birthday. So if you kind of figure out how old I am, I'm not as old as he am, but we share the same birthday, so. But, it was a day of prayer and a day of thanksgiving to God for all that they had went through. And, you know, Lincoln had taken office in 1861, and 1864 is when he passed the law for time. And we'd been in 3 years of heavy conflict in this country. And there was a statement he made one time, and it's always stuck with me. And Lincoln said in a speech one time, he said, when I come to the end of this, just paraphrasing, he said, when I come to the end of this journey, and that's that I lay down the reins of power. And he said, if I've lost every other friend in this world, he said, I still have one friend and that friend's inside of me. Amen. That's a testimony. So thank the Lord for all of his blessings on us. And just a wonderful time of the year. And, you know, everybody tries to turn everything into commercial season and all that, but it's really a time to give thanks to God for all that we have and what he's brought us through. And I was thinking, I had a prayer, had a praise, a lady that I work with. She's had a lot of issues, and she finally had to have a knee replacement done. We prayed, and she's had a lot of issues with it. But after she got through the surgery, 2 weeks and 2 days after she had her surgery, she was walking, didn't have any pain, she didn't have any issues. And, you know, most of the time they want you to walk with a cane a lot longer than that and everything like that. But she didn't have any trouble. And the doctor said, her surgeon was like, I think I'm going to put you on a billboard, because that was just amazing how well she's done, and she's not had any trouble with it. And just want to thank the Lord that, you know, God touches. And if we just believe and bind with each other and just commit it to the Lord, he takes care of all things. Uses doctors and all that to make everything well. So thank the Lord for that. And I know there's other ones. And I was looking through my Bible, and I put prayer requests in my Bible, things that people give me, and I stick them in there. And I got to looking in my Bible, and I found prayer requests that I know that the Lord's touched these people, but I still have them in my Bible. Every time I see their name in there, I know what God's done for them. And it's just like, you know, I just look at them and think, man, you know, sometimes you wonder how, where God's at or different things, but, you know, you look in your Bible and you start looking back, you start thinking about what God's done, and man, it's amazing where you come from and where you are today. And I mean, it's a wonderful thing. So just thank the Lord for this time of the year that we get to. And I also wanted to say thanks to everybody for the food and for helping Sunday. It was wonderful. I really appreciate it. I know everybody else has the same sentiments about it, but I really enjoy getting together, having food and fellowship with everybody. And so it was a wonderful time. I just want to say thank you for everybody that pitches in and helps, all the ones that are behind the scenes that sometimes we don't think about and kind of get overlooked, but we still want to say thank you for all that you do. Amen. And also remember, we have Brother Andrew Glover with us Sunday, Lord willing, both services and Sunday school, everything, regular service on Sunday. So we're just looking forward to that. And I always enjoy Brother Andrew every time I get to fellowship with him, and really appreciate his ministry and all that God's done through him. And he's a young man, been preaching probably most of his life, and God's just really used him, and he's really a blessing. So certainly looking forward to that. So if you have your Bibles, we'll look into the book of Psalms chapter 23, and then we'll just pray, and then we'll read the scripture here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, this time that we come be in your house, Lord. And Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, for all your blessings on us. Father, where would we be without you? And Lord, as we approach this time of the year, Lord, of Thanksgiving, Lord, it should be a time every day that we give you thanks for all that we have and all that you've done for us. And Father, we just can't give you, we can't praise you enough. We can't thank you enough for all that you've done for us. And Lord, as we look to the word tonight, Father, we just pray that you just come and speak to each heart, each one that has a need. Lord, the ones that will be watching in. Lord, all the different needs, ones that need a touch in their body. Father, we just pray that you just be with them and touch them. Lord, for the ones that are not here with us tonight, Lord, you know each need, and we just pray that you just continue to bless them. The ones that will be traveling, Lord, over the holiday season, Lord, just watch over them as they travel. Lord, a lot of people on the road, and Lord, just keep all the danger away from each one. Lord, as Brother Wade will be traveling, and we just continue to remember him, Lord, just bless him and hold him up. And Father, just watch over him as he travels and as he ministers. Lord, we just pray that you just anoint him mightily and just give him what he has need of, and bless the people there, Lord, that, Lord, you can speak to him and to the people there. And Father, we just commit ourselves into your hand tonight. Lord, we just pray that you just come and help us get out of the way. And Lord, just minister in a special way to each one. Lord, we just want to say we love you and we appreciate you. And we just commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Psalms 23, we're just going to read the whole chapter 1 through 6. Says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. And we'll take a little thought tonight called A Table Prepared. And I was looking at some things tonight. And, you know, I appreciate what Brother Boyd had to say about the young people, because the other week, you know, I was speaking about having an appetite for a real true feeding on the Word, and having a real true appetite for a spiritual diet. And, you know, Brother Brown said that the problem was if we have the wrong diet, we end up with sin, and the different problems that the Christian goes through is because our diet's wrong. Just the natural typing, the spiritual, you know, talking about the condition the world's in today, and all the food, and, you know, they pump everything full of chemicals and everything, and, you know, man always thinks that he can make something better, and really he's not making anything better. He's just continuing to make it worse, and, you know, they're trying to use their intelligence to do anything, and it's really just causing death. And, you know, just continues to tear everything down. And just kind of thinking in the same line about eating and our food and eating a spiritual diet and what God has given us. And you know, I was speaking there the other week, and we was talking about getting ready to go to camp, and, you know, preparing ourselves. And, you know, God has something for you, but you've got to be ready to receive it. And, you know, I wanted to say that we had a wonderful time at camp, and I really appreciate it. And Lord willing, if we get a chance, we're going to go back and help. And it was really a blessing to me. I know it was a blessing to the other ones, and I'm sure there's other that has testimonies. But, you know, it was me and Brother Boyd and Brother Luis, we got to spend some time together, and it was really a real blessing to me. And I just began to think about some of these things, and, you know, the condition that things are in. And, you know, God has prepared a table. You know, he's prepared a meal. We have something to eat, and whatever we have need of, God has it already for us. Amen. And so all these things are ready. And I just began to look at some of these things, and, you know, I was trying to find something to put all this in words, you know, that you think about some of these things. And this scripture come to me: "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies." And what struck me about that was because I was thinking about these young people as they approach this time, and here they are. And it's the same way with you and I, as we come to church and we have needs and we're looking for an answer from God. But, you know, here he is, and he's bringing forth something, and it's the exact same thing, is that he says he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Why? Because whatever you're looking for from God, if you come in the house of God tonight and you begin to look for an answer from God, or you need something from God, if whatever you're looking for is what you're going to get. Whatever your expectation is tonight is what you're going to get. And when people begin to expect something, then guess what? The devil's going to be there because he's here tonight to hinder you. Just like we was talking about to the young people. You know, how many times have we seen young people come to go to a youth camp, and the next thing you know, they've had, they get sick and they have go through all these different issues. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, whatever it is that the devil begins to talk to them and, you know, he begins to create complexes and different things. Why? Because he's trying to hinder them. But, you know, they know that God's going to do something for them and they have an expectation. But the devil's going to be right there to hinder you. And he said, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So you know what? Because God's going to speak to you and he wants to deal with you and help you, then the devil's going to be there. Now, there, you know, there's a couple of different ways that people look at it when you study this out. And, you know, the whole chapter of Psalms 23, we know that David's writing this as a perspective about the sheep and the shepherd. And you know, one of the things that you look at when you talk about a table, it also means like a mesa. And, you know, in Spanish, mesa means a table. And, you know, it's like the area that's green. And the shepherd knows what's there when he brings his sheep into an area for them to feed in that area. And he knows what's there. And, you know, he makes sure that there's nothing there that's going to harm them because he wants to bring them into a place that's lush. And, all through the scripture here, when we read, you know, he talks about it all lays out just like the path and the journey of a sheep. But, you know, there's a couple of other things that people look at. And one of them is when he talks about bringing, being prepared a table in the presence of mine enemies, in the time of the writing and even before that, you know, they used to have the feudal system in Europe and different places where, you know, they had a lord and he had owned all the property and he had servants that worked for him and they took care of everything. And he got all the money and everything, but you know, he had a group of people that he would work for, that would work for him, that took care of everything. But you know, they got everything that they had need of from their Lord. Their Lord gave them all the things that they had need of, and they worked for him. And so their protection came from their Lord. And so from the feudal Lord, you know, he took care of everything, and they worked for him. And in this system, he would have a large home, he would have a banquet area and different things like that. And when he said he would come, and so these people would be invited into the Lord's house to eat at different times. And so here's these peasants that were able to come. And he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, you know, sometimes in those situations, because you're going to feed in a place that you could, because in other areas in this feudal system, you know, you were under no protection because you may have been outside the walls or different places, or, you know, you're out in the field. There's no protection there. But here you are able to come into the master's home, and here he is where it's all, and then you could let off all the pressure. You could come in and have this great feast in before you. And here you are, you know, you didn't have any protection or very little or whatever, but here's a time where you could come in and enjoy all the great things that he has, laid out before you. And so, you know, when you see this thing about, you know, in the presence of mine enemies, well, you know, there were people that still tried to, you were still under the ability to be attacked or whatever, but, you know, you were still in this place where he could protect you. And one of the places that when you look at this is in John chapter 12 here, when you look at the scripture, and here you are and you think of having this Lord, having be able to protect you, and having this place where even you had people that didn't like you, that wanted to come against you. But and the one place that comes up in the scripture that comes up is where Lazarus was with Jesus. And here in John chapter 12, it says that Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And he said, and there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, scroll down. I'm not going to read all of this. But it would get to verse, if you scroll up to verse 9, It says, but much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So here they are, here is Lazarus, his Lord, and he has stepped into this home and he's eating with Jesus, but the Jews are the ones, the high priests and all of them, hated Lazarus because he was such a testimony to who Jesus was and had been raised from the dead, and they couldn't argue with what had taken place, that they had seen Lazarus pass away because of the position that he had been ascribed. They knew who he was, and they knew that he'd come back to life, and he sat in the midst, and all these Jews began to believe on Jesus because of what he had taken place. And here they are, and you know, they're making this plot trying to get to Lazarus. And then, you know, so here he is having prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, being able to eat in the presence of God, in the presence of all these, and showing what had taken place in his life. And, you know, here they are, they're arguing, you know, they're plotting against him, trying to get to him, but they couldn't argue with what had taken place. Amen. And so here he is, preparing a place in the presence of mine enemies. Now, the other place that we see in the scripture when it talks about this is, you know, many times they would prepare a meal and in the midst of a battlefield. And if you really want to show off to the enemy, is just go out there and set up a feast or a table in across from a battlefield, and you're looking out across your enemy, and your enemy can see you, and there you are, and you're looking at them, and they can look at you, and you spread this feast out, and you're sitting down and you're eating. Well, you know, that shows them that you don't have any fear of them. Why? Because I've got confidence in what I've got with me, that we are strong enough that we're going to sit down and we're going to rest and we're going to enjoy these things, and you're not going to do anything to us. And so here they are, they're sitting down in the presence of their enemies eating and just daring them to come on. Well, come on, if you think you're strong enough, if you think you're powerful enough, then come on. But I'm going to enjoy what I have in the midst, in the presence of the enemy. And I'm just going to sit down, and here I am rejoicing in this and relaxing. And so here they are, they're eating and enjoying themselves and daring the enemy to come forth. And it's the same way with you and I. If we come to the house of God, yeah, whatever the devil brings against us and tries to stop us, yeah, we're going to still feast on the word of God. We're still going to feast on the good things of God. We're not going to hold back. Just feed on what God has for you. And you know, here in the second, this is 1 Samuel chapter 14. And you know, when you begin to eat on the things of God and feed, and so we know this is Saul has come against the Philistines, and Jonathan is with his son with him, and we know that Jonathan and his armor bearer, you know, that they had went out to fight against the Philistines because, you know, he asked his armor bearer, you know, if he was ready to, if he would go with him up there. And he said, yes. And he said, well, you know, if they call for us to come down, you know, we're not going, or, you know, they'll wait for them to come down or go up to them. And, you know, he said, you know, when they went in, and he said, we knew that God had given the end of the Philistines into Jonathan's hand. You know, he went up there and he slew them, and he slew like 20 of them. And they got so afraid of what had taken place that they began to fight each other, and then they began to run away from them. And, you know, then Saul was out there trying to figure out what he was going to do to fight. And not realizing that Jonathan had taken this initiative, this step in front of the enemy, that he fought them just by himself, just the two of them had went up there, and it didn't take the 600. It only took two of them that actually had faith in God to defeat the enemy. Amen. And put the enemy to running. And so here in 1 Samuel, when he began to speak of these things, and It says, and likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. Didn't seem like they were really wanting to fight. Kind of a little bit scared of what was going to take place. But so the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethaven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjourned the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food unto evening, that I may avenge mine enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. And they all came, all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not his father charged the people with the, when his father charged the people with the oath. Therefore he put forth the end of his rod that was in his hand, and dipped it into the honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people, saying, "Thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day." And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, "My father hath troubled the land sea. I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they had found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines." So when he began to speak, that he didn't know what the oath or the word, the order that Saul had given the people. But when Jonathan went out there and they had fought and they'd gotten tired and weary, and then he went and just seen the honey that was laying before them, then when he ate the honey, then he became enlightened, or he became renewed. He became energized because what had taken place because of the battle. And here they are, they're becoming weary in front of the enemy. And Jonathan says, "Well, look what happened. His dad making another mistake, as Saul was not to do, because you know every time he was all the time trying to, instead of going before the Lord and asking the Lord what should I do or how should I handle everything, he just raises up in himself and he does it however he wants to. And you know, we know different times when he didn't slaughter the kings, and they brought back the gifts and all that when they were supposed to utterly destroy everything, and Saul had to, you know, Samuel rose up and had to rebuke him for what he had done. Well, that was the same way. He was always wanting to do it the way he wanted to do it. But here's Jonathan, when he's standing there in the midst of these people, he said, you know, if everybody had just eaten, but he made this rule, but everybody's so tired now and everybody's so faint because they've not eaten all day. And here they are, but all he wants to do is pursue the enemy. But the thing is we need to eat. We need to regain our strength or our and everything. So here's what we need to do. We need to eat. And here Jonathan says, "See, my father's done this, and he's troubled the people because he's not allowed them to eat. And they should have ate." And he said, if they would have just eaten, if they'd have just been able to eat, then he's a greater slaughter. We would have had a greater victory today if we just ate, but we didn't eat because we're following just somebody's idea. But it wasn't based on what God said. It wasn't based on what God had told the people. And here they are there. And so he says he is troubled. And it's the same way today. You know, how much more of a greater victory can we have if we feed on the Word of God? If we continue to feed on the Word of God and just continue to just eat and eat and eat and hold up. You know, it's like, well, I don't have strength. No, don't say those things. But whatever God says, and that's what you repeat, and you find it in the Word of God, and you begin to feast on that, and you begin to think on those things. You begin to dwell on those things. And what happens? And it becomes into your psyche. It becomes part of you. And then when you begin to speak it, then you realize, and then you have faith because it becomes a revelation to you. Then you really see these things. Amen. And it becomes a testimony to you. But he says, and so as he began to press the battle, and he talks about it. He says, and the people flew upon the spoil after they smote the Philistines and dropping down to 32, says, and the people flew upon the spoil and took sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, behold, the people sin against the Lord in that they eat with the blood. And he said, ye have transgressed, roll a great stone upon me this day. And then dropping down to 42. So we see that the people, he put the people in this condition where they were able to eat. But then all of a sudden when Jonathan eats and he says, you know, if you eat of this, you can become, your eyes will be open, you'll be renewed. Well, then all of a sudden the people just turn around and just start killing the animals, the slaughter, to eat, to get something to eat, because you just got to a certain point where you're just so weak. And he says, well, you know, you've sinned against the Lord. You know, Saul's bringing this accusation to the people and telling them what was taking place. But you know, when later on, when we see here in the scripture, when Saul is looking to find out why, he said he went before and brought a priest in and he brought the Ark of the Covenant before him to get an answer from the Lord about going forth with the fighting the Philistines, and he didn't get an answer. And we know that when those things happen, then he was like, well, there's something going on here that I don't know what the problem is. And, you know, they cast lots between the people and Jonathan and Saul, and they find out that the lot falls on Jonathan, that something's happened. And he asked him, he says, and Saul said, cast lots upon me and Jonathan, my son. And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him, said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of my rod that was in my hand, and lo, I must die. Because that was the statement that was made to by Saul to the people, that, you know, whoever eats is going to face death. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. So it's interesting that when all this took place, nothing was going the way that Saul wanted it to go. But when all this fell, and then he was like, well, you're going to die because this is my law. This is what I made. And the people tell Saul, listen, Jonathan was the one that had the following of God and wrought this great victory. And now you're wanting to kill him because he didn't follow your rule. But it didn't. But everything that you've said so far has been totally wrong and hasn't helped anybody. Hasn't blessed anybody. But here, Jonathan taking the initiative to follow the Lord and raising up in faith and went forth and ate and had this great victory. And so here it is. It turns Saul away, where Saul just walked, you know, left, because, you know, he was so brought down by what had taken place. And it's the same way, you know, many times people, they get into this place where they want to try to carry things and do things, but it takes God. God's the one that's got to be in charge. It's God that we have to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost and ask him and pray and seek God's face, not try to figure things out on our own, because many times people try to figure it, the more they try to figure things out on their own, the more they get them wrong. And it becomes just a greater problem. Right. But, you know, if we know that, you know, the first thing you got to do many times when issues and problems arise, you know, when you get lost in the woods and different things like that, you know, the first thing they tell you, you know, first thing you do is sit down. Right. You know, don't just be up and running all the time and trying to figure things out. You need to sit down and calm yourself and figure out where you're at. Yeah. And, you know, and people, you know, they... You know, Brother Brown talks about that in the message, the guide. You know, he was such a woodsman and had all these skills and was able to do all these things. And he thought he had the ability that he wouldn't get lost and he could do all these things. But, you know, even experienced people that's had great experience in being in the woods and doing different things, you know, they still have to follow the same rules. They still got to come back and follow the same rules. And, you know, the people say, you know, if you get lost in the woods, the first thing you need to do is then you need to sit down and build a fire and build shelter. And you just stay where where you're at and try to figure out where you're at, because the more you run in the woods and you know, people get into that Indian death march where they're just trying to run themselves to death and they can't figure anything out. And, you know, they get to the place where they think they're hopeless. But the first thing you need to do is just sit down. Yeah. And just think about where you're at and look at what you need to do. Why? Because if you stay put, somebody can find you. Amen. You know, the scripture says, be still and know that I am God. Yeah. Then if we just stay where we're at and just wait on the Lord, then we can. Then we don't get into these situations where we run ourselves ragged. Because, you know, sometimes the devil wants, you know, the devil wants us to be up and going and trying to tell us, oh, you need to do this or that, or, you know, trying to stir things up. And we get so worked up and it's like, no, I'm not listening to that. I'm listening to the Lord. So I'm going to sit down and listen. Amen. As many times as Brother Dale always said, you know, be at a place, you know, at a place waiting. You know, you get to this place where, you know, you've got to this one place where I'm going to stay right here until the Lord speaks. You know, I think, and I've said this before, but I love this. You know, where Elijah was there and he got down by the brook Cherith. And, you know, and he told him, he said, it's not going to rain. He said, dew won't fall. Nothing's going to take place until I call for it. He said, until I call for it. And then he said, then at that same time, then he goes by and the Spirit of the Lord brings him to the brook Cherith and he's sitting there. And he's drinking by this brook. Now the rest of Israel and Judea and everything, they're going through a famine. There's no rain. There's no dew. There's no nothing. And everybody's in a panic because everything is drying up. There's no food. Everything's dying. And they just see how hopeless it is and everything. But you know what? The prophet is sitting beside a brook in the midst of Noah, you know, just out in his own little place that God has put him in. And he's there and he's drinking this water. And the ravens begin to feed him food. And they begin to feed him in the morning and in the evening. And he's sitting there by the brook. Amen. And he's in this place. And people are, why are you not doing the well? Because this is where God wants you to be. So you come into this place where, you know, and sometimes, you know, you wonder why things don't seem like the Lord's moving or you don't have an answer. Well, God wants you to just stay right there.
That's right.
I've said many times, you know, people want to know what's going on. So, well, maybe this is your brook Cherith. This is where God wants you to just stay put. Because you know what? If you stand there and you just pray and seek God, when it gets time for you to move, God will give you the answer. He'll speak to you. Because, you know, he sat beside that brook. The prophet sat beside that brook until the brook dried up. And, you know, the whole time that he was down there and he was being supernaturally fed by God, there was a little widow woman somewhere who was down to her last meal. Down to her, you know, trying to hang on with her and her son, and everything else was going by the wayside, and seeing all the death and all the destruction and everything around her, and yet she's waiting on, just trying to hold on to that last little bit of meal that she had. But you know what? There was a prophet that already, God had already put a prophet to come by her way to give her what she had need of. She didn't see that, but the prophet was there. He already knew what her problem was. Amen. He knew what her need was, and the answer was already there. Amen. But you know what? When the brook dried up, then the prophet came to her, and she was down there, and she's almost hopeless, and you know, just down to her, you know, her last little bit of sanity there, and taking those two little sticks, and she's ready to die. She's ready to give up. And here she is in this last little minute. But you know, he says, "Can you give me some water?" You know, that's a high dollar commodity at that time in the world. But you know what? She didn't mind giving him some water. And then he says, give me a little cake. Can you bake me a little cake? Well, you know what? She didn't mind giving the water, but you know, because that was very scarce, but she shared what she had. But then all of a sudden, you want what else I've got? I've given you water. Now the other thing that I have very little of is this little bit of meal. And you want it too. And she's like, listen, I don't have anything. I just got this little bit to make a cake for me and my son that we're getting ready to die. But he says, listen, I want you to understand, if you make me one, just make me a little one first. He said, I've got a blessing for you. I want you to know one thing. That's never, your meal's never going to run out. The oil's never going to run out. But you just got to trust me to take this one little bit. If you'll just take this one little bit, then you can go this whole time, this whole famine. You'll be able. And so, you know, she took him at his word and she made that little cake. And you know what? Then she was blessed by that. And you know what? She never had, when everybody else was in this, is in this panic mode and everything else is dried up and everybody's starving to death. But you know what? She always had what she had need of. She always had enough. It always was enough. It always lasted for whatever she had need of. Just by giving that little bit, just by listening. And you know, it's the same way you and I, you know, God knows where you're at. God knows what you have need of. But you know, we just sit down and wait on God. When things get bad, things get worse, whatever, you know what, don't worry about it. If your children are wayward or whatever it may be, you know what? Don't you worry about it. Why don't you just put faith in God, because God is the one that gives the word.
Yeah. Right.
And then you just sit down and begin to feast on the things of God. Whatever God said, that's the truth.
Amen.
Whatever God has said, that's the truth. Not what I think or what I try to figure out. That doesn't matter either. What God said.
Amen.
What He has said, what He's promised, that's what is truth.
Yeah.
See, we just trust in God, whatever God has for us. Put our faith in God. And so here when, this is second Samuel chapter 9. And, you know, when we see things that God has done for us and, you know, having this table prepared for us. There's a table that's prepared. God has blessed us with these things and, you know, when we don't see the things that God has for us, but they're there, and it comes in God's time. And here, and this is the other one that just kind of, you know, it stays with me sometimes. And you know, here's David, and when he's beginning to speak, and you know, you start to wonder about some of these things as went through. And it says, and David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And you know, you think about sometimes when here's David, when he's looking back, no doubt looking back over his life, the things that's happened and what God has done for him. And he begins to look back and he begins to think of these things. And you know, thinking about when David was a fugitive and all these things, but he had somebody that loved him more than just about life itself. Jonathan loved him, you know, as his own self. And you know what Jonathan done and the love that they had for each other. And you know, no doubt Jonathan and David were closer than David's own brothers were. That he was closer to his own brothers, that Jonathan and him had this relationship, and began to look back over his life and all the things that had taken place. And no doubt what a wonderful relationship they had, and he began to think about what Jonathan had done for him. And you know, when Saul began to chase David and wanted to kill him, but you know, there was somebody that was always his ally, was on his side. That was his friend Jonathan, who always wanted to take care of him, make sure that everything was okay with him. And you know, and after Saul's family and all was killed, and you know, Jonathan had been killed and all of that. And you know, we've been looking back over all the things that Jonathan had done and the relationship they had and all these things. You know, here's David looking back and he says, "Is there anybody left that I can bless because of Jonathan, because what Jonathan done for me?" He said, "Is there anybody else that I can bless? Can I bless somebody? God's blessed me." And he says, he begins to search, and he says, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Michar, the son of Amiel of Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Michar, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore to thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, why is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon this such a dead dog as I am? Then the king said, then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and the sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may eat the food, have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy father's son, shall eat always at my table. And now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. And so here we see in this story where, you know, where John, when David begins to look back of all these things, and he began to look and see what had taken place in his life, and he began to look for somebody to bless. And he said, is there anybody left from Saul's household and from Jonathan's family and everything? And he finds Mephibosheth there, and you know, here's Mephibosheth, and you know, no doubt he was in a place when you look and all your family is gone, and you know, you're kind of an outcast, and you know, because all the family's gone and everything that you had is gone and everything, and you're, here you are in this lowly place and you're lame. And you know, all these things have happened to you, and you began to look at all these things and like, well, is there anything good coming of all this? And then all of a sudden, when you realize that your grandfather has been chasing the king all those years and trying to kill him and was against him this whole time, and now the king wants to see you. Then all of a sudden, you know what? Then Mephibosheth, he don't want to see David. Because you know what? He's so afraid of what's going to take place. Because he can't see anything good out of it. And he calls out there and he says, why is your, my Lord called me? He said, as a dead dog as I am, why are you calling to see me? Why? Because he sees the condition that he's in, and nothing has been right. Everything's, but here's David saying, listen, he said, but your father, Jonathan, has been my friend, has been like a brother to me. He has blessed me. And he said, see, now the blessings of the father are going to rest on the son. He said, now I'm blessing you because I have this opportunity to pay back what has been given to me. And he said, now I'm going to restore what was Saul's is going to be yours. And here, and I want you, because I can't do anything for your father. He's gone. But I can do something for you. I want you to come sit at my table. I want you to eat of my bread. He said, you will always be at my table. He said, you will always have a place. And when you begin to look at all the things that had been negative and all the problems that he had faced in Mephibosheth had faced in his life, and then all of a sudden the king has come to him and said, listen, I've got a place here in the palace for you. And then, and not only here, but there's people that's going to be working for you, that's going to be bringing these gifts to you, all the fruits of their labors. You're going to be able to eat of these things. And I want you to come and enjoy all of these things. And so, you know, when he said, well, how is all this? Why? Because there's been a blessing that's been applied to you. And brothers and sisters, it's the same way with you and I. It's like, why did God come looking for us? Why? Because God had a blessing, because you were one of his. Why? Because we were one of his when we were lost in sin and cut off and alienated from the life of God and from the fellowship of God. Then he came looking for us. He always knew where we were, and he always had a blessing for us. But we couldn't see that. We were cut off, and even when we look at all these things, how can God come to me? I'm unworthy of all these things. But you know what? He's the one that made the promise. He's the one that paid the price. And many times we look at all the faults and failures in our lives. We see all the things that have went wrong in our lives. We see all the problems and all these things. And you're just like Mephibosheth sitting there, and all he can see is all the death and destruction. All he can see is the lameness of his feet. But you know what? David didn't see that. David didn't see all of the problems that he had. All he saw was that he was the son. All he could see was who he was by the bloodline. And I'm telling you, and it's wonderful to know that in the back of God's mind, no matter where you go and all the problems that you have in this world and all the places you want, but you know what? We were in the back part of God's mind. We were one of his. And no matter when we come to this earth and no matter how far away you get from God, God knows where you are. And if you're one of his, he's coming to get you. And he's going to bring you back into fellowship because he has something to give you. And you know, so, you know, it's such a wonderful thing to see what God has done for us. And we got a place to come and eat at his table. Amen. And it was just, it's nothing but God's grace to us. Right. We didn't merit any of this. We didn't have a right to any of this. Right. But it was by God's grace he called us to this. Right. And all God's blessings, and he wants to bestow his blessings upon you. But many times we get to the place just like Mephibosheth, where we wonder, why are we in this condition? Why has these things happened to us? But it's God speaking to us. You're not ever going to be good enough for God's love. You're not ever going to be good enough for God's grace. Because if you ever get to the place where you merit it, then it's not God's grace. And many times, you know, the devil wants to try to hold you back from where God wants you to be. And you know, it's like, well, we fail and we have issues and all these things. But you know what? God's grace is greater than all that. Right, why? Because there's still the blood that you can put all your sins under, that you can wash all that away. That, you know, that you can come back in perfect fellowship with him. Yeah. Right. But if you would just go that way. If we just follow that God has these great things for us, that he's called us to these things. And he wants you to reach out and take these things. He's speaking to us. And it's so wonderful to realize what God has given us, that we don't merit it. You know, because if, you know, when you think of these things, and when God has given you things and God has spoke to you, then, you know, when you want to give somebody something, you know, when you have something that you want to lay on somebody, you want to bless somebody. You know, it's one of the hardest things is trying to get somebody to believe you. And it's even worse when you want to bless somebody, you want to give somebody something, especially when you see somebody in need and you know what? They don't want to receive it. And it's not that they don't want to receive it. It's that they don't think they're worthy enough to receive it. Well, you don't have to be. If I love you and I want to give you something, then you don't have to be worthy enough to get it. When you have your children, even though, you know, no matter what they do and how they go and how they whatever it is they do, they're still your children. And you know what? You correct your children, but you know what? You still want the best for them. You still want to give them the best. You still want them to have the best. Why? Because you want to see them succeed in everything that they do. But whatever it takes. But you know what? You've got to make them understand. Listen, this is yours, and you need to take it. You can't run from this. Why? Because you know what? I'm going to follow you. Why? Because my children are my children. God give them to me. Yes, well, you know what the thing is? As long as they're drawing breath, then you know what? Then I'm going to be right there behind them. I'm going to be right there in front of them. I'm going to be leading them, and I'm going to be trying to tell them the right way to go. They've got to go that way. They got to make their own choices. But you know, you got to show them the right way to go. And just keep holding them up and before the Lord, but just keep showing them the way. You know, they've got to make their own. They got to make their own choices, but you got to teach them the right way to go. And I hear this is from the message, God's provided way. And Brother Bram's speaking, and he says, now in the Orient, he said there was a wedding. There was to be a wedding take place. He said, what taking place? The king set the time for his son's wedding, and then it was the son's duty to give out the invitations, and no one could come to that supper without an invitation. He said, I don't believe that there has ever been a man or woman that ever walked into a church or come into the presence of God without there being, that they were given an invitation to this supper. Now, you can take it or you can turn it down. That's up to you. He said, some people goes to church year after year and day after day, revival after revival, and still will not accept that invitation. They don't mean to turn it down, but they just neglect doing it. And he says, did you notice? He said, one had something to do. He bought a piece of ground. Now, he's speaking of Jesus giving the parable of the supper. And he's, you know, so each one of them, when he sent out the invitations for them to come to this supper that they had, this great feast was set on for them to come to. But here they are, and they said, well, I've got something to do. He said, I bought a piece of ground. The other one had bought some ox. He must go try them. Not like you wouldn't try the ox before you bought them. You see, it's just an excuse. And he said, I know that all you ministers and so forth and businessmen and track works and so forth, you know, you find all those things, people's got excuses. I've just got to stay home tonight. I can't attend the revival. Just remember, God said they'd do that. They're turning down their invitation. Now, let's look at it again. And one, he said this, his wife wouldn't let him come. And that's another excuse. They wouldn't be nothing stand between us and that invitation. If it costs you a yoke of ox or your business or your wife or your children or anything, nothing should separate us from that invitation. God's called you to his harvest field or to do something for him. There should be nothing stand between you and God. It must come first, the invitation given out. He said, when the invitations were given out, the excuses was made. Then back they come and said, they won't come. Now, if you notice, the last time that he sent them out was to go into the hedges and the highways and byways, get the lame, halt, blind, and compel them to come in. For God has determined that his table will not be set. There'll be nobody there. God wants his tables full. The fatlings have been killed. Everything has been fixed and everything's ready. And if you'll notice, the last great message was to go into the highways and byways. Now, I like that about this little church here, feeding the poor, taking in the lame, the halt, the withered, praying for the sick. I read this little sign here, what gave me the idea, and the lame shall walk. It said, certainly, and the last calling was the last invitation, was a great time to sweep across the country in divine healing. And that was the last. And we're winding up the end of that, just pulling in the loose ends right now. So how close is the coming of the Lord? Go into the hedges and byways. Bring them in. Compel them to come. Bring in the lame, the halt, the blind. They had their healing service. And so he begins to talk about, you know, Brother Boswell, we're talking about the healing services. But he said, you know, he said, but it was the gospel. He said, but the gospel. So that's the way it is about. Scroll on up there. But divine healing, it brings the people together. And then the hook is the gospel that catches the fishes for God's kingdom. And so, you know, here's this table that's been spread. And, you know, when you come into this place that God has brought you into God's kingdom, and you're into this, and you're able to eat of this table that God has prepared for you. Then, you know, the thing is, you know, you want to share this with everybody. Amen. You know, the one thing is, as Brother Dale's always said, you know, when you receive the new birth, when you see the Holy Ghost, it's the one thing you want to give everybody. Yeah, Whether you know whether they'll accept it or not, that's all. That, you know, that's not the point. The thing is you want to invite everybody. You want to make sure that everybody has this invitation. Everybody knows about this invitation, and it's been given to everybody. Then he said, you know, he had all this group, and Brother Ram says that, you know, he was rebuking the Jews because they had been given this invitation unto this coming, because, you know, here they are looking for the Messiah to come, and when the Messiah comes, they don't recognize him, and they don't receive him, and they turn him down. And he begins to rebuke them, because here's this wedding that's been promised unto them, this coming, this great feast that's been laid out before them, and here it is for them to come, and they don't receive it. And he says, because when the Jews turned him down, then it was time for him to go to the Gentiles. And here they are going to turn to the Gentiles to bring forth this word to them. And he says, you know, go to the highways and all wherever and make sure that they hear about this. That there is this great feast, and I want this thing full. There's a place for you to come and sit at this table. And he said, well, if they don't want to come, he said, well, you compel them. Then you continue to, you just don't say, here's your invitation. You don't just leave it in the mailbox. But what do? You make sure that they know. I want you to be a part of that. I want you to come and be a part of this. I've been here and I've enjoyed myself, and I'm full, and I'm praising God, and I'm feasting on these great things, and I want you to feast on these great things also. You can't know if you're just standing on the outside looking in, but I want you to come in and partake of this. Amen. You know, as Brother Bram was talking about that man that come, and you know, he wanted to argue about whether God was real and all these different things, because, you know, he couldn't see him, and he all these type things. And Brother Branham was standing there, and he took that apple, you know, he took a bite of it, and he's like, well, if you're so smart, tell me if the apple is sweet or sour. And he was like, well, I don't know. He said, well, that's right, because if you never partake, how do you know it's not real? You want to stand there and say it's not real, that the days of miracles have passed and all these things, and there's no such thing as God, and there's no such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all these things. Well, how do you know if you never partake of it, whether it's true or not? If you never partake, how do you know what's real or not? And so here it is, when we began to speak of these things, and I want you to partake of these things. Here's an invitation that's went out that you can receive all these things. Here is your invitation. Will you partake of this? And so here they are trying to draw these people in. And so it's the time for us to reach out and try to reach out to each one. And I said all that to say this, and I've got a little bit more, but I'm going to be finishing up here in a minute. But, you know, all of this has been laid on me, and, you know, because you go to a youth camp, and, you know, you're there to be a blessing to them. But when you go, you know, some people go just to be with their friends. And that's good. It's good to have friends. But, you know, there's kids that come, and you don't know what they're facing. And here they are, they come. And you know what? It was really nice to see some of the young people that were there. And they were young people that were there that were by themselves, and they had nobody. And it was an amazing thing that you had young people walk up to people and introduce themselves and begin to speak to them. Why? Because they had a need. And nobody, and you know, I can't always reach people. But let me tell you something. We don't realize that we say, well, I'm 17. You know what? You can reach a teenager lots of times easier and better than a counselor could. That here these kids are, and they come, and you know, they come from all kinds of broken homes and or you know, they're battling different things. You don't know what kids are facing. And sometimes it's amazing when you begin to see some of these things that these kids are facing. And sometimes we don't realize it. And I want to read this quote. This is the last one. This is from the Approach of God. And I know Brother Brown was speaking, and he's speaking of you know, mothers and fathers. Well, I just want to. I'm just going to read this, but you know, we look at it and say, well, it's just mothers and fathers. Well, you know what? You know, I think all of us can put ourselves in here. You know, I think you know, the Paul said, you know, to treat all the women as sisters, and the older ones as, you know, as mothers, and you know, we think of them as brothers. You know, we honor these people. And here is in the Message Approach to God, he's speaking of Job, and Job is thinking, looking at his children, and he's seeing the kind of life they live. And you know, Job was so interested in what his kids were going through that, you know, he would offer a sacrifice for his children, whether they had committed a sin or anything like that. But you know, he wanted his children protected. He wanted his children covered. And it says, so he took the burnt offering and made an offering for his children. He sacrificed for each and every one of his children that maybe, listen, see, maybe they had sinned. Maybe they never knew, would never sinned around Job. Maybe they didn't know nothing about it. Maybe he didn't know nothing about it. But knowing that they were out there in the world alone. I tell you, what we need today is more good old-fashioned praying mothers and fathers for their children. If we had that, would be the greatest support to do away with juvenile delinquency I know of. First, give me old-fashioned mothers and daddies who pray for their children. And this is what struck me. He said, looky here, boy or girl, this afternoon. He said, if you've got a mother or dad like that, the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, that's your mother's prayers you're walking over the top of. Remember that. And you'll never prosper at all till you turn and surrender yourself to Christ. That's right. Now, Job said they may have sinned, so he offered the best that he had, all that he knowed, because that's all the approach he had to God. So he killed one lamb for his own approach. He killed another one for one boy and another one for another, making a burnt sacrifice for each one to have a way of approach to God. God seen the honesty and sincerity. And what struck me, I was reading that, and you know, you see the children the way they are, and you know, we say, well, you know, it's mom and daddy, and you know what, but you know, Brother Dale has said so many times, you know, it's every one of us, when we dedicate a baby, every one of us are dedicating ourselves to live the life in front of that child. That child doesn't just see mom and daddy and aunt and uncles and everything like that. But you know what? Every one of them ought to see Jesus Christ in each one of us. Yeah. That it's our responsibility to live a life that glorifies God in front of them children. That they know who God is. Amen. Not just thinking that, you know, it's, you know, this one or that one. No, we all are responsible. And as this scripture, you know, they're looking for somebody. They're looking for something real. Yes. And, you know, there was something that took place at the camp, and it was just amazing. There's a young man that was there, and he had somebody that came. It was a counselor, not his counselor, but he had somebody come to him and began to speak to him about his condition. And began to tell him about his life. He said the Lord laid it upon the counselor's heart to come talk to this young man and speak to him. And what was so amazing was this young man, nobody knew what he was going through. Nobody knew what was in his life. Nobody knew what was in his heart. But God laid something on this young counselor to come and speak to this young man, and began to speak to him and tell him the things he had been going through. And what was so amazing about that was that here's this young man struggling in life and not coming to the place that he needs to be. But God, in his infinite wisdom and his mercy, here he comes, brings this young man that they've never met before. These two had never met. But all of a sudden, here's this young man and this counselor is led by the Holy Spirit to come speak to this man about his life. And you know, and he said, nobody knows these things. Not even his family, not even his parents do these things. But you know what was on the inside of it? God began to speak to him to tell him, listen, this is where you need to be. And to show you that what's down on the inside, your thoughts of thoughts, the intents of your heart, that nobody else in this world knows, but God knows. That he lays it upon somebody's heart to come speak to you, to tell you the things that you need to do. Where you're standing and that God's mindful of you.
Amen.
And so when God begins to speak to this young man, then, but the thing is, you know, when we see these kids and they begin to see that God has begun to move, that God's real. You know, it's not psychology when God begins to speak to you and he knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. When he begins to speak to you on your level, to the place which you need to be. And when he begins to do these things, then you realize that's God speaking to you. That's your day of visitation. And let me tell you something, there's kids out there that have just started on this journey. There's some out there that still hasn't surrendered their lives to God, but God began to deal with them in that camp. Well, we began to pray for the young people before we went to camp. Well, I want to admonish everybody here. I want you to not just continue to pray for them, young people, because when God began to stir their waters, then you know what? If they've not come to that place, then we're going to continue to pray for them until God gets a hold of them. And if they begin to walk in the light, does God begin to walk in them? Well, you know what? If they come to a place of justification, then if God's going to carry them all the way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you know what? Then we're going to continue to pray for them, whether we know their names, but God knows them. And you know what? It's our job to pray. It's our job to compel them. We may not be able to see them or lay our hands on them or pray for them or speak to them, but you know, we can speak on their behalf to the Father. We can become their intercessor before God, that God began to speak to them and whatever is in their midst, and just not just to our young people in our church, but to all the young people. I was listening to Brother John Andes the other day, and you know, he was speaking at the camp, and then when he was at his home church, he was speaking, and you know, it's not just ours and theirs, but you know what? It's all together. Why? Because we're a body. We're a body ministry. So if we begin to minister, we got to minister to everybody, because you know, it's not my group and your group. No, we're all the body of Christ, and we're all going to pray for all of them. Wherever they're at, whatever they're facing, then you know, we're going to hold them up in prayer. And what I want every one of them to realize, there's a place God has prepared, a table in the presence of your enemies. And when the devil keeps fighting you, I want you to come back to the table, because God has given you a place that you come, and no matter what you're facing, no matter how much you feel that you're so unworthy or whatever, God still has a place for you to come and feed on the good things of God. God has made this thing for you to come. Don't just stand in the background and think, well, I'm unworthy. No, God is calling you. When God calls your name and he calls your number and knows where you're at and he gives you that invitation to come, then now is the time to come. Don't wait. We don't know how much longer we've got, but we need to answer that call. I know I want to pray, and you know, because I've got two sons, and you know what? I want God to get a hold of them. And there's other children in this church that are not in the place where they need to be. But then you're going to continue to pray for them until God gets a hold of them. And wherever they go, they're still our children. And wherever they went to, you know what? They're still our inheritance. They're still our possession. That's the promise of God, that our children are ours. And you know what? Then we're going to continue, because not only are they my heritage, but you know what? They're God's heritage. And you know what? Then God's going to protect them. But you know what? He gives us the responsibility to be the ones, to be the intercessors for them, to show them, hold the light and shine the light and show them the path that they should take.
Amen.
Why? Because it's an important job. I want to do all that I can. God has a place for us.
Right.
And that's what God wants us to do.
Yes.
Continue to hold them up.
Amen.
Continue to
Amen.
Shine the light.
Right.
Continue to compel them into this great feast.
Yes.
God has a place for you. Amen. Well, God bless you this evening. Let's all stand and have the musicians come. And just because you're 15, 16, 17, 20 years old, well, don't think that, you know, well, it's going to be Brother Aaron's job or Brother Bob's job or Brother Wade's job. No, it's your job. If you can get on, I'm almost step on some toes now. Hey, if we can get on Instagram and play 20 questions, and everybody knows what kind of ice cream we like, and what our shoe size is, and what colors we like, and what we're going to do next week. And, you know, all these kind of things. Well, then, you know what? We need to get on there, and we need to talk about the good things of God.
Amen.
I ain't pointing no fingers anymore. But you know what? If you've got a testimony, then you can share it. And I know we've not had a testimony service, but you know what? Maybe the Lord will allow us to have one, to have the young people give their testimony if they have one from camp. But yeah, I want them to have and show the world that God's real, what God has done for them. I was listening to Brother Jason Watkins some time back, and Brother Jason was talking about, he said, now people get together. He said, you can argue the scripture. He said, you can argue these different things. But he said, the one thing they can't argue is your experience. He said, because they didn't have it, you did. He said, now they don't have to believe your experience, but they can't argue with it. And that's the thing. If you had an experience, if you know what God, that God's real, then you show it. You share it. And let us all be more salty in this world, that people can see the things that God's real. Because it's so easy just to blend into the background. But you know, but Jesus said we are lights. The light of the world. He said a city set on a hill cannot be hid. He said a light that's lit is not put under a bushel. But when it's lit, it's put in a candlestick.
Amen.
That light may shine all around. And that's our job, to show the world the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. And these young people, when they come in, we had two baptisms at camp. Had one young man come in, and I don't even know where he's from or anything about him. All I know is the Lord stirred his water so much that he told Brother Jason DeMars, he said, I can't wait till tomorrow to get baptized. Amen. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, and they got video of it. And Brother Jason DeMars is down there in the lake, 1 o'clock in the morning, baptizing this young man. Why? Because he was stirred by something. He wasn't going to wait till next week or whatever. And then we had the other young lady that got baptized Sunday at camp. Well, God stir, just continue to draw them, to stir their waters. Whatever they have need of, Lord bless them. But I know some of those kids, they come in and you know, they get a brief reprieve from the world, and it just lightens their load. And they say, well, a lot of them, you know, they all came up for prayer, and you know, Friday night, on Saturday night, they have a prayer line, but on Friday night, they had young people just come up for prayer. They didn't even make an invitation or anything, but they were so stirred. Amen. That God moved on them so much that a lot of them just started coming up front for prayer. And you know, they were coming, and Brother Jason was talking about some of them coming down for prayer, and they were standing there, and Brother Jason Watkins was, you know, some of the brothers come down. Brother Jason was telling them that, you know, they come down, and he said all they come down with the same, with a lot of them come with the same request. He said, I just want more of God. I just want to get closer to God. We said, well, you know what? If you have that desire, because the deep's calling to the deep, then if there's a deep to respond. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. Let's just continue to remember each one.
Feel the pull.
Amen. I feel the pull. How many can feel the pull?
At night I lay in bed and I begin to cry. And my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the spirit's groaning deep within. It must be God here in my soul, 'cause I feel the
that fear him so, Lord. Lord, so I know that you'll give him a good, safe travel, Lord, coming back and forth. Watch over the other people that will be on the highways, Lord Jesus. Lord, there's many people traveling this time of year, but, Lord, we just commit them unto you, Lord. Lord, bless the trip and all that goes with it, Lord, all the things that they do. And, Father, we commit it to you, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Bless you, brother.
I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I feel the pull.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. Appreciate each one of you being here. And just remember each one, the prayer requests. And remember, Brother Andrew Glover will be with us on Sunday. And amen. All hearts and minds clear tonight before we leave. Amen. Let's just all bow our heads before we leave. And let's just speak to the author of the word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we can say it's been good to be in your house tonight, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just are moved by your word, Lord. Lord, that we see that there's a table spread where the saints of God are fed, Lord. And Lord, you said that the script says that you spoke to the disciples and said, come and dine, Lord. And Father, we've tasted of the good things of the Lord. Lord, you've brought us this far, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you just, we're stirred on the inside, Lord, by these things. And Lord, we pray for those that are, Lord, in this journey, Lord, all those young people, Lord, there's many other ones, Lord, that, Father, that are not where they need to be, Lord. We can say we're not where we need to be, Lord. Lord, but we just pray that your, Lord, that your blood will come, Lord. Lord, that you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. Lord, to draw us closer to you, Father. Lord, that we've heard these things, Lord, that it's such a late hour, but God, let us just be on fire, Lord. Let us be salty. Father, there in the camp and all those young people and all around the country, Lord Jesus, Lord, they're facing the same battles. They're facing battles that we never had to face. But Lord, we stand in the gap for them, Lord Jesus. We stand in, as intercessors, to, Lord, to pray over them, Lord, and to claim them. Lord, you said that there's one thing that we never could do, and we could never pray enough. Lord, we may not be preachers. Well, Lord, we may not have other jobs, Lord, but we can all be prayer warriors. Lord, we can always spend time with you in communion. Lord, not just speaking to you, Lord, but waiting for you to speak back to us. Lord, to give us the words to say. Lord, let us not just go through life just so haphazard sometimes, Lord Jesus, but we want every footstep, Lord, to realize that you're leading us, Father. Everything that we say, Lord, not any idle words or idle things, Lord Jesus, but or nothing of the world, Father, but we want everything to be to your honor and glory. And Father, we claim our children, Lord, that you've given us. Lord, no matter where they're at, whatever they're going through, whatever they're at, Lord, we know that your hand is upon them. Lord, we've turned them over to you. Lord, we claim them. We apply the token to them. Lord, whatever the devil comes their way, whatever takes place, Lord, we know that you're leading and guiding. Father, as many times in our lives, Lord, we stand there and don't know what to do, Father. But sometimes, Lord, in the stillness, in the quiet, Lord, you come, and that's all you want us to do is just to get still, to just get to the place where you can speak to us and realize where we're at. That all things are in your control, Father. And Father, for each one of our young people in this church, Lord, sometimes I think of them as much as my own children. But Lord, we know that your hand's upon them, and we just continue to bless that you bless them in everything that they do. Lord, all the devils that come against them and fight them, Lord, we pray that you realize that they realize, Lord, that you begin to speak to them to realize that they're overcomers. They're more than conquerors through you. And Lord, all those young people that came to the camp and so many other ones, Lord, that they're battling things that all these different spirits that are within the world and all of them are facing suicide and different spirits, Lord.
Lord, we've heard the different testimonies and different prayer requests that have went forth. Lord Jesus, Lord, we're standing here tonight and praying over them, Lord Jesus. You'll come and minister in a special way to each one. Lord, if it takes us waking up in the middle of the night to pray for them, Lord Jesus, wake us up. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, let us be on mindful of you, Lord. Just give us the words to say if it's something that needs to be said, Father. Lord, bring us to the place where we need to be. And Father, if we're lax in our own lives, Lord, if our testimony is not what it needs to be, I pray that you help us, Lord, to get to the place where we need to be, Lord, that the young people, Lord, that the other believers can see Jesus Christ in each one of us. Lord, not just to be another time, Lord Jesus. Father, well, I know that through the prophet, as he said, Lord Jesus, we can't be desperate. We can't make ourselves desperate, Lord, but you make us desperate. Father, you stir our waters, Lord. You stir our hearts, Lord Jesus. I don't know when this is going to be the end of the last service that we'll ever be in this building, Lord Jesus, but we know that there may be a time we'll never be able to get to fellowship in this building. But Lord, I want to be right with you. Lord, I want to be under the blood. I want everything clear. Father, because we never know when our last day upon the earth is going to be. So, Lord, you help us. We commit it to you, Lord Jesus. You come and speak to our hearts. Father, for each one that's listening in tonight, Lord, whatever their needs are, Father, you minister to them tonight. Wherever they be, you just come and speak to each and touch each one. Father, we're just so thankful for all that you've done for us. We can't tell you how much we love you, Father. And Father, as each one goes home tonight, Father, we just pray that your hand be upon them and watch over the ones that will be traveling in the different services. And as our brother Andrew Glover comes Sunday, Lord, Father, I pray that you just minister to him, bless him, give him the words that we need to hear, Father. And we just commit all things to you. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you tonight. You're dismissed.